is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We go immediately to fresh information from Chile. This is a report in Bloomberg. It brings to our attention again, however, a theme that looks to be running throughout Latin America, a theme of populism, a theme of identifying with the left, a theme of challenging constitutions and market economy. Professor, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. His name is Gabriel Boric. He's 35 years old. He's a young man. He's a millennial. And he has right now a position of leadership in the polling for the next leader of Chile. At the same time, Bloomberg Markets is attending to investor class. This is upsetting the international corporations who are involved in Chile because, as I learned, Chile's economy is vital to the success of everyone else in recovery. How so? What is it about Chile that makes it special? And then we'll attend to the young man who could be king. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. A pleasure to be on the show. With respect to Gabriel Boric and really what's happening in Chile, it is remarkable because, as you pointed out, especially and really thanks in part to the military dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet, Chile emerged in the 1980s, 1990s with some of the strongest institutions and some of the strongest economic performance in Latin America, based in a basically University of Chicago model of commitment to laissez-faire free market economics and in private enterprise and initiative. Indeed, Chile was the only member of Latin America to join the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, among others. And so they talked about the Chilean economic miracle, and at a time when other parts of Latin America languished in populist politics, Chilean politics looked remarkably European, a strong middle class in which the discussion shifted to issues of education and healthcare and other things. However, the other part of the legacy of Pinochet and the military dictatorship was not only the sense of unresolved human rights abuses, but it was also a sense that the Chilean society, as free market as it was also a deeply unequal and unjust society. Now, as you pointed out, Gabriel Boric is a millennial. And so one of the things that's happened in Chile as a prosperous middle-income country is you now have a generation of people who forgot the principles on which Chile made the decisions to give it today's success. But this all spilled over in October 2019 when, in response to a relatively modest metro fare increase in Santiago, you had major international protests, which took its right-wing president, Sebastián Piñera, by surprise and led to the agreement to have a constituent assembly for a new constitution to get rid of the old military-era constitution. That process is underway right now, but the companion to what could happen with Chile's new constitution is that by coincidence of timing, the fallout from the protests and the fallout from the difficulties with COVID is that from the center-right Vamos coalition and the successor to Piñera, Sebastián Sichel, the likely front-runner in Chile is Gabriel Boric. Now, Chile's previous president before Piñera, Michelle Bachelet, was also from the center left, not unlike Gabriel Boric. But the real danger here is twofold. Number one is that you have a young president of the left who could be taking power as Chile jumps into a new constitution in which the rules of the game and really the underpinnings of Chilean society are up for question. And number two, what's happening in Chile is only one piece of a much broader movement across the region, which extends from Venezuela to the return of the MAS in Bolivia, to the deepening of leftism with the Peronists in Argentina, with the turn to the left in Peru by Pedro Castillo and a number of others, really fundamentally changing the environment of the region. So if the pillar of the right and functional government, Chile, is going in this direction as well, what does it mean for the region?
Once upon a time, a man named Salvador Allende was the leader of Chile. This is in my youth, Evan, and I recall that the U.S. deeply involved itself in the regime change that led to Allende's death, among other catastrophes in Chile. That memory is now nearly 50 years out of date. Does that inform the rage that I see in the street demonstrations, or is that lost in the mists of history, what happened in 71, 72 in Chile?
It's an interesting question, John. And in many ways, the generational change means that the many difficulties that actually brought Allende to power in Chile during that time are completely unknown to the current generation. There does continue to be, just like one learns certain concepts of history in our own history books, there's a certain inherited sense of injustice by references in many Chilean history books to the human rights abuses which occurred during the period of General Pinochet's military dictatorship. But more than that, there's a kind of profound sense, there are European type of problems. There, is access to education fair? Should education be received by everyone? The question of whether Chilean society is open to people of alternative gender orientations. Is Chile too expensive for those who are have-nots? Is there too big of an inequality gap? And so really with this millennial generation, the sense that Chile is just a profoundly, call it, unfair society that should be more equitable really has driven some of these issues and now positions Boric to take power.
The prosperity in Chile is based on natural resources, copper, among others, and there are large, large mining interests from around the world that at this point are hesitating about Boric. He wants more equitable society, which requires an income. The reason I mention this is oft times when you take over an economy that is not fragile, but based on profit base, and you scare away the investor class, what happens then is that everybody is beggared together, that we don't have equity except at the bottom of the chain. Is Chile at risk of that, or is it too sophisticated a market to collapse that dramatically?
Chile, I believe, is profoundly at risk, and I'm very worried about it, but it's not just because of Boric. Boric, taken within the classic Chilean system, again, would be seen as moving to the left, but not anything too far beyond where, for example, Michelle Bachelet was with the Concertación, the previous left-of-center government. The problem, though, is that Boric is coming to power in a Chile that is deeply mobilized, in which, on top of him coming to power, and on top of the stresses of COVID-19 and on top of the legacy of the protests of October 2019, you now have this constituent assembly process that's fundamentally rewriting the rules of the game. One of the indigenous organizations, the Mapuche, who was elected the head of the assembly. The constituent assembly that is rewriting the rules is of a distinctly left orientation. So what really has investors worried right now is that they could always depend previously in Chile on its private free markets, its rule of law, which had to do with the electricity sectors as well as the mining bonus. So the question is, when you don't know what the rules of the game will be next year, it makes you kind of hesitant to invest, whether again it's electricity or mining or other activities. And so I think that, anything could happen from here is what has, and again, just given that Chile was one of the places that used to be the most reliable country in Latin America in terms of that, commitment to private enterprise and the functionality of its institutions. I think that's what has investors in Chileans deeply, deeply upset.
The profile of Mr. Boric is attractive, romantic. He reads classical Marxist sociologists. Gramsci is mentioned, the Italian Marxist. He speaks fluent English. He reads British welfare state history. He's extremely experienced, would travel well. He doesn't represent what I would say the out of the jungle gorilla. We'll meet those now and again in Latin America. This is an up-to-date leftist, a man who's informed about what is and is not possible in the world. The question then is he a face of a movement or is he the movement? I've been educated to understand I'm always looking for Evo Morales' cousins, but this man doesn't seem that at all. He seems an intellectual living by himself in a Santiago apartment who is taking up the call of his neighbors. Quite admirable, but and yet you worry about manipulation and people behind the scenes.
Absolutely, John. To draw an analogy, one could, at least at one point in time, could call Joe Biden a centrist Democrat. But the issue was, with the arrival of the Democrats in power in the United States and the Bernie Sanders wing and the Ocasio-Cortez wing, where collectively did that take our government? It's a similar issue with Bork. Bork's youth and relatively inexperience does worry me. Although he is bookish, his commitment to use words like rage and social injustice worries me a little bit. But I think the most troubling thing isn't so much Bork himself, who is very different than the type of authoritarian populists that you've seen, again, with Evo Morales in Bolivia, or the more cynical populism of Cristina Fernandez in Argentina, or the type of inexperienced populism of Pedro Castillo with Vladimir Sharon in the wings behind him as a committed Marxist in Peru. The thing that worries me most about Bork is that where does Bork take Chile when all the rules change with the adoption of a new constitution, perhaps in late 2022? Will lithium be nationalized? Will they do away with the Carabineros? I think the risk comes from more from the possibilities than from Bork per se, as we see him in this moment.
There is a theme, the left. The theme is elsewhere in Latin America. When we come back, what is left in the 2021 elections, both past and present and future? I'm speaking with Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American Research Professor, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Next, the left is? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.